This program is sponsored by The Church of God International and supported by our viewers.
Many people today think the Bible is just all about how to get to heaven. They look around the world and see nothing but problems. Yes, crises after crises, from either natural causes or man-made, oftentimes initiated by hate, avarice, or simply a lust for power. Yes, admittedly, humanity appears not to know the way to peace. So we're led to believe going to heaven is the answer and solution to all of our problems. But is that really what the Bible teaches? What does the Word of God mean when presenting us with the opportunity to enter into the kingdom of God? What is this kingdom of God Christ proclaimed as part of the gospel? And where will it really be? Will it be in heaven or someplace else? Stay with us as we reveal Jesus Christ's kingdom of God.
In times like these, we need the armor of God for the well-being of our family. To help you stand in the evil day. The Church of God International presents Armor of God, a program of biblical understanding. And now your host, Bill Watson.
Well, hello, and again, welcome to another international telecast of the Armor of God. Good to be with all of you once again. You know, at the outset of the program, we attempted to portray the fact that we're living in a very troubled and disturbed world. I don't think any of you would disagree with me that as you look out on the landscape of our geopolitical community of nations on this earth, that there appears to be problems upon problems. I mean, many sources feed into these problems, agreed. But nevertheless, it doesn't dismiss the fact that these challenges oftentimes find a lot of devastation and death surrounding so many of these crises. Crises after crises. And I don't care where you look, whether it's in Europe, whether it's in Russia or Africa, whether it is in the Middle East or right here, even in the United States, or way over in China for that matter, or out and about in the Pacific Rim, no one seems to be able to escape the fact of challenges being fed into their cultures or their location of the world from a variety of sources. Economics, fed perhaps by many of the debt service economies that many nations now have adopted, nevertheless create risks and potentialities of bankruptcies, contributing to the deflation of currencies, the debasing of those currencies, such as what's going on with the euro and the European Union and the United States dollar, of course, even running the risk of this currency losing its status as the world's reserve currency. Consider the devastating weather situations that we find ourselves witnessing around the world, like earthquakes and typhoons, tsunamis and hurricanes, and oh, the devastating amounts of tornadoes here recently in the United States especially, that have just leveled towns and cities, leaving thousands homeless. And of all things, volcanoes now erupting in remote parts of the world. And that's not to mention, of course, the ongoing relentless concern and intrepidation and anxieties that all of us have over terrorist attacks and threats from groups like Hezbollah, Al-Qaeda, and Hamas, and other smaller factional groups that all want to make their mark on the terrorist board. And if that wasn't enough, how about the risk and danger of the continued nuclear proliferation risk and jeopardy that the world is facing, along with a real possible arms race there in the Middle East, due primarily to Iran's relentless pursuit of nuclear status. It makes you really wonder, what's wrong with mankind? And more importantly, what are the solutions to these what seem to be overwhelming problems. Well, I'd like to address these questions on today's program, but before I do, let me interrupt myself to present to you two free offers. That's right, both of them are free, and both of them are booklets today. And they're rather comprehensive. They're multiple page, maybe 30, 40 pages long, but are well worth the time vested in reading them if you will take the time. They'll go into a far much more detail than what I will have opportunity to do today. All you've got to do is dial that 888 number up on your screen and ask the operator for both of these pieces. One is titled, Why Christ Must Return, and the second one, What is the Real Gospel Truth? 888-578-8791. Ask the operator for both of these, and let me emphasize, free offers. And don't forget about that website, by the way, over there at www.cgi.org. We have so much more material at that location there, our website. There is literature, booklets, archived programs of the Armor of God, sermons by ministers on a variety of subjects that I know you'll find so very interesting and helpful in the development of your relationship with Jesus Christ and God our Father. And don't let me forget, let me remind you for a moment here, our webcasting feature on our website as well. Every week, mostly on Saturdays, we have a presentation given live, webcasted. That is, you can stream it right to your computer. All you got to do is find out the time there on our homepage and rendezvous with us and enjoy a presentation addressing some contemporary issue from some minister of the Church of God International there for about 45 minutes to an hour. That's about all it takes on a particular Saturday if you've got the time to do that. We'd certainly appreciate it, and I know you will probably be blessed by the message that you would take the time to hear. So don't forget now, one more time, 888-578-8791 is that phone number to ask for these two free pieces, Why Christ Must Return, and What is the Real Gospel Truth, and that website one more time at www.cgi.org. So here we are. In the 21st century, as I've been discussing here for all of us, and here we are still 21 centuries and still fighting what seem to be the same old problems. Patterns are repeated, cycles are repeated, because it doesn't seem like mankind learns any lessons from the mistakes that he causes and therefore ends up suffering from. And you know the pattern. The pattern is, you know, a nation or an empire or a country reaches a certain status of wealth and security and perhaps power, and then somebody comes along and challenges them, whether it be through direct involvement, aggressive attack in war, or whether it be more subtle means by economies and perhaps subtle invasions through encroachment of their culture and so on. But somehow they're neutralized. And or, in fact, in some cases, as I said, if it's due to war, enslaved. And then the empire is replaced by either the winner of that fight or neutralization or someone else in some cases. My point is, though, then the pattern is repeated, as is the cycle repeated, and here again we just go on and on and on. It never seems as though we learn our lesson. And you know, a lot of it has to do to a couple of truisms that are actually located in your Bible. I've got one of them right here in Jeremiah 17. Notice over here, if you turn your Bible, if you have it with you, if not, you can just write this down and look at it later. But in verse 9 of this chapter 17, book of Jeremiah, it's in the Old Testament there, it states this, and this is so, what you could say, poignant, because you can see how this contributes to this ongoing repeating of patterns and cycles. Notice what the prophet wrote here. The heart is deceitful above all things, desperately wicked. Who can know it? Now, you add in the fact that man is narcissistic by nature, selfish, in other words, by nature. And he himself, or she, of course, being more self-promoting, self-oriented, selfish in the orientation that surrounds them in their life, and being prone to deception, obviously you see how this can contribute to some of these patterns and cycles being repeated on a much larger scale. There's another truism, I won't turn to it for the sake of time, but you know it, it's a very familiar scripture where it talks about how they know not the way of peace. No, they know not the way of peace. Mankind stumbles and fumbles in his attempt to try to understand the means by which he can acquire and obtain peace. Our legacy is horrid. When you look down through history and you see some of the horrific conditions, devastation, punishment, destruction, and bloodshed that man has imposed on himself, it's mind-boggling. I don't know about you, but I can't help but to ask, what is the solutions? Where are the answers to these, as I said, overwhelming problems? Well, many of you are familiar with the armor of God. Those of you who are not, let me introduce you to this fact. We believe the answers are in this book. That's right, and we make no apologies for it. We firmly believe that the answers lie between the books of Genesis and Revelation, and that all of the details on how these, what appear to be awesome, enormous, almost what you could say overwhelming, unanswerable issues, problems, and challenges man faces, are indeed solved by the methodology, by the processes, and by the means by which this book outlines are going to come upon humankind, whether they like it or whether they don't. The sad part is, so many people misconstrue this book. You know, they think that this book's all about going to heaven. They think that all this book is about is how to get from here to there. And that there's nothing more intrinsic than that. Nothing more valuable that when you die, you go to heaven. My friends, that is so, so wrong. The Bible is filled far more with information that pertains to something that is far more beneficial to mankind as a creation overall. Contrary to the very fact of what I'm talking about, oh yes, my friends, contrary to that fact, this book, that's right, this book, my friends, is about the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God and what God is planning on doing to solve mankind's problems. As a matter of fact, do you know that Jesus Christ's primary message was about that very fact? Oh, he came for multiple reasons. Don't get me wrong. We believe he came to die for humankind so that we would have a Savior and by means of that be able to have a program of redemption that all of us recognize and have titled and labeled salvation. Without a doubt, we understand that 2020. We've got that down pat, and we are in full agreement with all Christianity in that regard, that Christ crucified is at the basis, at the premise. He is the foundation and underscoring element to this Bible's message for humankind, that mankind can enter immortality, but must enter it by the name of Jesus Christ, through repentance and acceptance of him as Messiah and baptism, committing one's life to it. But in addition to that, with that being said, there is a message that Jesus brought with him that he was essentially crucified for as well, because this was all part of his mission when he came and visited us some now almost 2,000 years ago. Turn with me, if you have your Bibles, over here to Mark chapter 1. In the book of Mark, we find here in Jesus' own words stating this. And after verse 14, John was put in prison. That's John the Baptist. Jesus came into Galilee preaching, notice this now, the gospel of the kingdom of God, saying, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent you, believe the gospel. Look over here, Luke chapter 9, real quickly now. Luke chapter 9, and in verse 1, we read this. Then he called his 12 disciples together, gave them power and authority over all devils and to cure diseases. And he sent them to preach the kingdom of God, and of course, to heal the sick. Turn with me back here, book of Revelation, chapter 6. I want to illustrate to you just what is meant by this kingdom of God, because so many of us have this misappropriated idea that it's all about heaven, that that's the kingdom of God that Jesus was talking about. My friends, it is much more than that. As a matter of fact, if you think that heaven is the kingdom of God of which Jesus was talking about, I'm here to tell you, contrary to that, you're wrong. Sadly, you're wrong. You're misunderstanding the information here. Notice what Jesus says is the kingdom of God and where that kingdom is located. Chapter 6, book of Revelation, over here in verse 12, we read this, talking about the four horsemen of the apocalypse there earlier, the seals. And now in the sixth seal, we find this described. And lo, there was a great earthquake. The sun became black as sackcloth of hair. The moon became as blood. The stars of heaven fell unto the earth. Even as a fig tree casts her untimely figs when she is shaken of a mighty wind. The heaven departed as a scroll when it was rolled together, and every mountain and island moved out of their places. And the kings of the heaven? No. Kings of the earth, my friends. The target here of much of this devastation, the target here of all of the destruction as a result of these seals is earth, as is the opening of the seven trumpets in chapter 8. As is, latter part in chapters 10 and 11 and onward, it talks about the seven last plagues over there. Here you have, in this particular case of chapter 6, I read again, verse 15, the kings of the earth and great men and rich men, chief captains, mighty men, every bondman, every free man hid himself in the clouds? No. In the dens and in the rocks of the mountains, and said unto them, mountains and rocks, fall on us, hide us from the face of him that sits on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. The earth is in turmoil here. They are beginning to be introduced to the fact that there is a greater power than mankind ever dreamed of. This is the latter days being described by the visions that the Apostle John received through Christ and the angelic visitations that he received on the Isle of Patmos, writing them down for our understanding, so that we might have insight in the latter days of where the events are going to happen and the clarity of what the end result, what the end game is all about. Oh, it gets better. Notice this over here in chapter 11. Turn with me, chapter 11, book of Revelation, over here, verse 15. Notice this. And the seventh angel sounded. This is the seventh trumpet now. And there was great voices in heaven saying, notice this now, the kingdoms of this world, earth, are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ. He shall reign forever and ever. I'm not going to turn there, but I will reference Isaiah chapter 9. It talks about over there, chapter 9, how that he, a child, is born unto us, and the government will be placed on his shoulders. That's right, my friends. The government will be put upon his shoulders. And as a result, there will be no end to his kingdom, of which he will be crowned King of Kings and Lord of Lords for. Oh, Revelation is just loaded with clarity in many respects. Let me just share with you one more scripture here in Revelation chapter 14 and in verse 13. Let me pick up the context here. And I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, write, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth. Yea, said the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors, and their works do follow them. And I looked, and behold, a white cloud, and upon the cloud one sat like the Son of Man, having on his head a golden crown, and in his hand a sharp sickle. Notice this now. And he goes on here, another angel came out of the temple, crying with a loud voice to him, sat on the cloud, and thrust in your sickle, and reap, for the time has come to reap for the harvest of the earth. Did you get that? The harvest of the earth is ripe. There is a message here that so many people forget about and in some way are misappropriated into thinking and believing that the action is up in heaven. No, no, the action is not up in heaven. Oh, there's action in heaven, don't get me wrong. I mean, God the Father is there, Christ on his right hand, the 24 elders, I get all that. But what we're talking about here, as times close in on us, and as God brings this chapter of human rule with satanic influence to an end, the action, my friends, the playing field, if you will, the ring where the fight takes place, is not in heaven. It's on the earth. Your Bible is telling you that. Why ministers, why priests, why evangelists don't emphasize this is beyond me. But the fact remains, your Bible's clear. Planet Earth is the landing spot of Jesus the Christ, who is indeed on a countdown from heaven. As a matter of fact, these are all New Testament points, and you could read on here to the end of the chapter, verse 20, but for the sake of time, let me go over to Daniel chapter 7 in the Old Testament, because Jesus is not out of sync with the prophets. The prophets of old mentioned this a long time ago. The Apostle John is not writing independent through some vision that he's conjured up on himself because he's smoking peyote in a cave somewhere on the Isle of Patmos. Not at all. He is in concert with, he is connected to, he is founded and ensconced on and anchored in the prophets and their messages. Notice in the book of Daniel, let me take you back there, chapter 7 and in verse 3. And again, I'll paraphrase here. These are the four kingdoms of the earth. It's a prophetic scenario that unfolds, and in the course of the unfolding brings truth to how God is going to close the chapter on human rule. And it comes down here to verse 16. Let me go to 16, yes. Chapter 7, book of Daniel. Notice this. I came near unto one of them that stood by, asked him the truth of all this. That is all of what preceded through verses 1 and 15. And he says here, and he told me and made me know the interpretation of the thing. So here we go now. We're going to hear the interpretation of the previous 15 verses. You don't need me to interpret this for you. The Bible will interpret itself. Notice this. In verse 17, these great beasts, that is the lion and the bear, the leopard with four heads and the ugly one that was more dastardly looking than all the others. It says here, these beasts, which are four kings, which shall arise out of the earth. Okay? So here we got it. It's clear. Earth is the playing field. But the saints, look at this summation here. The saints, now we know the saints are those who have accepted Jesus Christ as their Savior and are resurrected at His return. If you have any understanding of fundamental Christianity, upon His return, they are resurrected to meet Him in the air and will be ever with Him. And where is He going? Well, you can read about that in Zechariah 14, and we will perhaps turn there later on, but I don't want to get ahead of myself, but He's landing. To put it bluntly, Jesus is landing on the Mount of Olives with His saints, with Him. And here, it says here in this summation statement in verse 18, the saints of the Most High shall take the kingdom, possess the kingdom, that's the fourth kingdom, forever, even forevermore. That's right, my friends. This kingdom is going to be taken over by the saints, and Jesus Christ is going to exercise the leadership there as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He goes on here, and then he says, look, I want to talk to you about the fourth beast. Verse 19 now, he then engages in this scenario of a unfolding of events that brings closure to human rule. And notice again at the end of the story here, verse 26, but the judgment shall sit, and they shall take away the dominion to consume and to destroy it unto the end. And the kingdom and the dominion and the greatness of the kingdom under the whole heaven shall be given, again, reiteration, to the people of the saints of the Most High, whose kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and all dominions shall serve and obey Him. Hitherto is the end of the matter. So that's the end of the story as Daniel summarizes this whole event on how it's all going to unfold. This kingdom of God is ultimately going to be established on earth. Jesus Christ is going to be established as King of Kings. He is going to reinstitute the government of God on earth and essentially take over the Middle East. He's going to make the Mount of Olives the location, the capital, if you will, of planet Earth, That's where he's going to set up shop with his resurrected Christian beings who he resurrected upon his return. You can read a little bit about that in John chapter 5 and how he calls their name and from the graves. He didn't bring them from heaven with him. No. From the graves they are resurrected and they meet him in the air. Paul talks about how if you're alive, you'll be changed in the twinkling of an eye from flesh to spirit, from mortal to immortal. If you're dead, you'll be raised first, meet the Lord in the air in a different life form, but landing on the planet Earth over there at the Mount of Olives. No, my friends, Jesus is indeed on a countdown from heaven. And this was no strange mystery to the apostles either in the early days of that apostolic movement of the early New Testament church. Turn with me over here to Acts chapter 28, the last chapter of the book of Acts. The Apostle Paul now is incarcerated. He's been given a home to operate out of for a few years. I want to bring your attention to his subject. Notice that this is the Apostle Paul near the end of his ministry, some, who knows, maybe 30 or so years after Christ had ascended back to the Father. What is the Apostle Paul preaching? Notice, he says here in verse 23, "And when they had appointed him a day, there came many to him," that's to the Apostle Paul, "in his lodging, to whom he expounded and testified," look at this, "the kingdom of God, persuading them concerning Jesus, both out of the law of Moses and out of the prophets, from morning till evening," because that was the only Bible at the time. It was the only Old Testament. It was the only scriptures that the apostles, the early new apostolic Christian church, used to establish the doctrinal treatises and the statement of beliefs of the church. It was built on the Old Testament, the Torah, the prophets, and the writings. And in verse over here, chapter 28, verse 31, again we're told and reiterated, "preaching the kingdom of God and teaching those things which concern the Lord Jesus Christ with all confidence, no man forbidding him." That's right, the Apostle Paul preaching about the kingdom of God. My friends, there's so much more I'd like to share with you. Time's run out on me. Dial now, 888-578-8791. Get those free offers that we presented earlier here on the program, the two booklets, Why Christ Must Return and What Is the Real Gospel Truth. Both of them will go into such detail and help you to better understand that the Bible's not about getting to heaven. No. It's about preparing for the resurrection and for rulership in a government that is going to be executed and unfolded by Jesus Christ, who will reinstitute the government of God. My friends, this is Bill Watson reminding all of you, you keep on that armor of God so that you're prepared to meet Jesus in the air.
Armor of God and the free material offered is brought to you by The Church of God International of Tyler, Texas. You may write to us at 3900 Thames Street, Tyler, Texas, 75701, or call toll-free at 1-888-578-8791, or call 1-903-939-2929 during regular business hours. You may visit our website at www.cgi.org or email us at armorofgodcgi.org. We appreciate your prayers and support.
This program is sponsored by The Church of God International and supported by our viewers.